This is Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow. If you look at a satellite map, Google Maps will work. I want you to try zooming in on the coast of Louisiana where the state meets the Gulf. And here and there, you're going to see pieces of land along the water that branch like trees with water channels between these thin fingers of land. At those spots near rivers like the Mississippi and the Atchafalaya, they are laying down sediments. That's what's happening there. They're building new land and continuing a process that's been going on for thousands of years. And when sediment piles too high, the river finds a different meandering course to the Gulf and starts a new delta. The process begins over again. But a new study in Nature Geoscience says dams and levees upstream of the Mississippi are blocking a lot of that river sediment, which means that gradual replenishment of the delta land way downstream is slowing down. And when you combine that with rising sea levels and the fact that the land in the area is sinking, you've got a delta that is in the process of drowning. Is there anything we can do? That's what we'll be talking about. What happens when the delta starts going underwater? Our number 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK, and you can tweet us at SciFry, at SCIFRI, if you'd like to participate that way. Let me introduce my guest. Ivor Van Heerden is the director of the LSU Hurricane Public Health Center. He's also associate professor in civil and environmental engineering department at LSU in Baton Rouge. He was not involved in this research, but he certainly knows what's going on in that area. He joins us from our studios in Washington. Welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Van Heerden.
Thanks, Ara. Thanks for having me back.
Why should we care about what's happening with the delta there?
Well, I think there's three important assets that Louisiana brings to the nation. One is the port that it literally extends from Baton Rouge to the mouth of the Mississippi River, the biggest port in the world. The second is obviously energy that's mined from our coastal zone. And then all the oil and gas that comes from offshore from the outer continental shelf activities passes through our wetlands on its way inland. So those are two important factors. Then the third is the fisheries, the diversity of this area, wildlife habitat, and so on. So the state of Louisiana, especially the coastal zone, is very important to the nation.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the paper that that talks about the loss of sediment from upstream. Is that something that's been going on for a while?
Yes, this has been going on for a while. And, you know, the late Shay Penland from the University of New Orleans about 10 years ago first postulated that if sea level rise exceeded 2 millimeters a year, we could see a lack of new land being formed, even if we could capture all the sediment out of the delta, because sea level rise would exceed the ability to build land. And Harry Roberts and Mike Blum, this very good paper, they've gone out and come up with a first order estimate, and what they show is with present sea level rise rates, we don't have enough sediment to significantly build a new coast.
Mm-hmm. Are the estimates of sea level rise that they used in the paper, are they extreme, or are they just normal numbers, believable numbers?
The numbers are very believable as far as I'm concerned, if not conservative. I've mm-hmm. just come back from the UK where they are rather shocked by seeing that sea level rise locally is in the UK is 3 times higher than it was a few years back. So I think Harry and Mike were conservative, but the take-home message is we've got to get on this task now, and we can't save everybody. We can't save the whole coast. We've got to have an organized retreat and then build in the areas where it would most benefit the environment and humans.
So you're saying we can't stop the sea from rising, and we're not going to change those sediments, but we should have a holding pattern, let the sea take some of that land, but then build it up in other places to prevent further erosion?
Yes, I think, you know, in the past, when you had a major river delta forming, as you mentioned, the loci of deposition changes about every 1,000 years, all of that sediment would be spread over a very large area. And in that way, we would build up, you know, in essence, a county or a parish over a 100-year period. Now we don't have that sediment, so we've got to come down and look up at sub-county sizes, at small little deltas closer in. And you know, once you've been to the Netherlands, you recognize that we're going to have to use a combination of levees and wetlands to protect the levees, and then in turn barrier islands, which would protect the wetlands, which in turn would protect the levees, and that would protect the built environment.
So we have to let go of the southernmost portions, you're saying, and retreat backwards and protect the ones from losing them a little further north.
We just don't have the sediments to rebuild the mouth of the river. We've got to retreat back significantly. This is what many, many of my colleagues have been saying for some time. Harry and Mike just brought some really good data to the fore.
Do you think that local politicians are going to buy this argument? It must be an expensive project, I would imagine.
Well, it is a lot of money, and you know, we're obviously hoping that the federal government eventually comes up with the funding to do what's necessary. Local governments, the state of Louisiana, definitely doesn't have the money. Mm-hmm. Projected oil and gas revenues from outer continental shelf federal activities aren't going to accrue or get to us for at least another 11 years. So this is really a federal problem, if you will. The reason we're losing our wetlands is we cut off the sediment supply because of federal navigation interests, federal levee systems. Our wetlands were chewed up by oil and gas, and the whole nation benefited from the cheap oil and gas. So this is really a national problem, not just a Louisiana problem.
So there's no thought about just undoing that levee system that the Army Corps built years ago and maybe getting that sediment to come back down again.
Oh, no. You know, there's a lot of us who're pushing for diversions through the levees, and we've got a couple of small ones, Carnarvon and Davis Pond, and we've also had some siphons built, and those siphons have proved pretty successful. But we've got to be capturing the sediment fairly far up the system, right at, say, the latitude of New Orleans rather than down at the mouth, and we've got to look at capturing or getting a better sediment supply out of the Atchafalaya River, which is on the western side of the area where we expect most land loss.
But what do we do about those people whose homes would not be protected by that boundary that you're putting up?
Well, what I've been articulating, and I did this to the governor's staff recently, is that any plan should have compensation. A large part of the plan should be compensation. That those communities that we cannot give protection to, that we need to buy, in essence, flood easements, or we got to buy them out and help them relocate. If we do have major diversions of the Mississippi River, we're going to change the nature of some of the bays. We're going to go from brackish or estuarine to fairly fresh, and so we're going to have to compensate some of the fishermen. But without compensation, any plans are just going to end up in court.
How would you rebuild or build up the barrier islands to protect the coast?
Well, offshore of Louisiana, we have a number of high-grade sand deposits. The one most well-known is Ship Shoal. It's about 11 miles offshore. It represents an old barrier island, a drowned barrier island. High-quality sands. You know, many years ago, I was involved in the marine diamond industry off the west coast of southern Africa, so I know you can move tons and tons of sediment, gravel, and sands. And so the potential would be to mine this material and use it to build barrier islands. And in some ways, you don't even have to put it on the islands. You can put it just off the islands and allow longshore transport to get the natural island-building process going again.
And how would you keep them from being swept away, or they would stay there?
No, they. their natural life cycle is to disappear. So, you know, you're going to have to give them a good lift. But they're in Ship Shoal, there's about 13 billion cubic yards of material. One wouldn't have to mine, you know, just a small percentage of that. And you could get the islands back perhaps to what they were 100 years ago.
So, I'm just saying, in summary, then, you're talking about a major sort of public works project that would try to give up some of the land that's there to save the rest of it.
That's right. We cannot save everything in coastal Louisiana. That's the reality. That's the science. It's taking a while to get the politicians to recognize this. But every minute that we don't do anything makes the task even more and more difficult because of rising sea levels.
And if we have more intense hurricanes, would that just exacerbate the problem?
It does. Unfortunately, many of our wetlands are highly stressed at the moment. And when you get a hurricane such as Katrina or Rita, it tears up many of these wetlands, pushes them up into balls, lifts mats, and then in some cases puts salt water into freshwater environments. So they are very destructive, not more so now than in the past when they weren't so stressed.
And how would you get the ball rolling on this project?
Well, I think what's needed is in essence, a total rethink and perhaps a new structure coming out of the federal government, some Department of Public Works, that looks at this almost as if it were a satellite image and then decides on what's the best tasks, what's the best way forward, and then goes in and does it, rather than working from the local level where you're only going to get save me, not the next guy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Ivor, for taking time to be with us today. Good luck to you. Good to have you back.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Ivor Van Heerden is the director of the LSU Hurricane Public Health Center. He's also associate professor in civil and environmental engineering at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge. We're going to take a break and come back and have Robert Ballard join us. He hasn't been on in a while. We're going to check up and see what he's up to. He's got some new projects. He's got a project called Telepresence. We'll talk about his life and times. And your chance to talk to him, 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Also, you can send some tweets in. That's @SciFry, @SCIFRI. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.